Blog Talk
and welcome
Radio.
To the show that we've got for you today, Can We Be Real? And this is Carl White, your host. On the line as well is Donna Kelly. We are talking to you today about how to get your healing today, what makes a difference in your life, and how can we as people make sure that we have a miracle for our own life. It's amazing that so many times in life that we can look at people and wonder what is going on in the world and how is it that they made it through what they've been going through and how some people can survive insurmountable odds. Even I was watching a show the other day, the young man who was in the movie 127. It's 127 hours that he spent locked in a crevice of this rock. And the unimaginable thing, he was there all alone and literally took a pocket knife and removed a part of his arm in order to come out. Now, some people can't even watch the movie, much less imagine to do something like that. And so the key to it is knowing that even through all of this kind of stuff, what is it that we have to go through ourselves? I know in my own challenges, it's amazing that so many times we get to a point we can't figure this kind of thing out and wonder how is it that we can survive. I was on the sofa, and I was on the sofa for about 3 weeks. Man, I'll tell you, I was sick. I had the flu in such a way that it had me down where I couldn't move. I couldn't get up. In fact, if you get sick, hurry up and get sick and get well very quick, because if you're sick too long, people are not going to come and visit you. But I'm laying on this sofa, and I'm sick, man. I'm telling you, I'm so sick, and I'm having a dream. And I'm fighting this, not flu, but pneumonia. I'm having a dream, and I'm looking at myself dreaming, and I'm choking. But I'm sitting in the chair looking at myself and literally having an experience, but I'm really choking. And what comes to mind in my heart is these three words, not yet, son. In that moment, in that still moment, I felt the presence of God. And from that moment forward, I got better. And because I wouldn't let go, God didn't let go. And it wasn't time for me to go. But I want to introduce to you another survivor, another wonderful person who I've known for many years, an amazingly strong person by the name of Donna Kelly. Are you on the phone, Donna?
Yes, I am. Thank you,
God. Yes, how you doing today?
I'm doing great.
We're talking about miracles and healing and all that kind of stuff. I think you know a little something about that.
I do. In fact, I know quite a bit about it, unfortunately. I wish I could say I knew nothing about it, but I've lived a life the last 4 years plagued with, in fact, it was more than 4 years plagued with sickness, lots of sickness. I was told by my doctor that I would die. I had tetanus. I had a bacterial infection that spread through my bloodstream. I had a fungal infection, about five different viral infections. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. And today I'm alive and healed and well and restored and praise God.
So now tell us how in the world can someone be sick for 4 years and face the very brink of death and come back? Because they've got people listening, and they're going to want to know how to get to their healing. So let's just kind of go through some of the steps on it, if you had to tell them.
Okay. Well, the first thing I want to say is Jesus in the Bible, Jesus refers to healing as wholeness. And that's really important because wholeness means that you are, in fact, you said this on your website, Carl, it means that you are physically, mentally, spiritually, and materially sound. And in fact, I looked it up in the dictionary. Webster's dictionary says it's an undivided or unbroken completeness or totality with nothing wanting. So healing, everybody can have healing. And when I didn't know that when I got sick. And when I learned that, it changed my entire life. I went from being hopeless to knowing that I would be healed by God.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, do you think it was...
Huh? I'm sorry. Did I answer
the question? Go ahead. Don't worry about it.
Okay, go ahead and say what you're going
to
say.
Do you think it was something that you, because you were such a good person and you earned it?
Oh, no, absolutely not. In fact, I knew I was not a good person. I was a wretched person. The Lord saved me by grace through faith, and this whole journey was really just a revelation for me. In fact, what happened was, to be quite honest with you, I was actually, I bought a house to get away from my family because I didn't want them to see me die. So I bought a house and I moved away, and I went shopping, although I could barely see and I could barely walk. I went shopping to buy a sofa so that my mom could have some place to take care of me as she, you know, as I died. And when I got to the store, I went to Macy's. When I got to the store, I met a woman. Her name is Marcia Brown. I'll never forget her, in New York. In fact, she's one of my closest friends today. And Marcia, she was trying to show me all these fancy sofas. And I said, no, I'm not interested in any of that. I just need something to hold me over, to tide me over until the time comes. And she backed me up and started asking me personal questions. And I told her that I was dying. And she stopped me and told me, oh, no. God is a healer. And from that day on, I came to learn God was a healer. And I went home and I searched in the Bible and I searched and I searched for over a year until I came upon scriptures that that I really believe that God used to deliver me. In fact, I know for a fact I was going to die. I knew it at the time, I was going to die if God didn't save my life. And I know what you're talking about, Carl, when you talk about the man that was lodged and he had to sever his own arm to stay alive. Years ago, I saw an episode of 2020, and I had told the story to many people that hadn't seen the episode. There was a boat that capsized in the Caribbean. And what happened was there were tons of people on the boat, probably about 500 people on the boat. The boat was probably overloaded by about 200 people. There were four survivors on that boat.
Wow.
On 2020, they interviewed the survivors, and none of the survivors had anything in common. The only thing they had in common was none of them believed they would die. Not a single one of the survivors believed they would die. They decided they were going to live, and they lived. So, you know, the Bible says life and death is a choice. You know, you can choose life or you can choose death. You don't have to die prematurely, and if you stand on God's word. It's just that.
Okay, but let me just play the opposite side of that, because you heard my testimony. But some people out there, they're trying to build their faith. And when we get to a point like that, and, you know, and we call up a friend and they say, well, you know, they start sympathizing with our sickness and all of those kind of things, and we start buying into it. How do you avoid well-meaning friends who look at your sickness and say, you know, if that the Lord's will, you'll get well?
Well, I'll tell you, from my own personal experience, that was my own personal experience. My very mom that was here with me said, well, maybe it's God's will for you to die.
Oh,
and
sure.
It broke my heart. I knew it was time for my mom to go home because I knew that was not God's will. And I hadn't read it in the Bible yet, but in my spirit, in my heart, I knew she could not possibly be right. And so one of the most difficult things in my journey, because over four years is a long time to suffer with sickness, one of the most difficult things in my journey was to not talk about sickness. And it's easy to talk about sickness. I'm a woman that likes to talk. I'm not going to pretend I don't. It's easy to talk about sickness. It's easy to complain. It's easy to commiserate with your friends. It's easy for them to join in with you. It's such a mistake to do that. The Bible says that you are to confess life to your body and healing to your body. You can't do both. If you're confessing life and at the same time you're confessing death, you're negating the life. So it's so important to not talk about sickness, not talk about death, not talk about what you're going through, but look forward to what you are to receive from God, which is healing and life.
You know, one of the things that I think a lot of people, where they get stuck at, is that they don't really make the decision. They'll confess the decision. They'll say, well, I'm trying to control my diabetes. I'm trying I'm trying, and they get stuck in the trying part. And what you had said right there was very definitive. I'm not going to die. And, Mama, you got to get up out of here with that.
That's right. And in fact, I had to send my mom home because, you know, the Bible says that Jesus could do no mighty works because of the unbelievers. And I knew, even though I didn't know the word, I knew my mom was an unbeliever. And I knew she had to get up out of here because I couldn't handle
And it wasn't personal.
It's nothing personal. I love you, but the bottom line is I have to live. I have to live. And if that means I have to force my – sometimes I had to walk on my knees to get to where I had to go. I couldn't
yes.
see 5 feet in front of me. I mean, I had to have around me believers only. Anybody that believed that I could be healed had to be around me, and nobody else. If there was any doubt, I could not have them around me because I was already struggling with my own doubt. You know, I
yes.
didn't just wake up and go from, you know, what Marcia Brown told me to suddenly believing completely that I was going to be healed because Satan was attacking my mind. The doctor told me I was going to die, and every day, Satan would tell me, oh, you're going to die. And I had every reason to believe it because I had all the symptoms of death. It was staring me in the face. But I still had to stand on God's word. And I did
yes.
that with a confession. I did it with a confession, and we will go over the seven steps if we have time. But the confession was, I will not die. So every time
yes.
I heard in my own mind that I would die, I will not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. You know?
Yes.
And I sometimes, and I'm, you know, I get excited about this, but I want to make it clear to you, it wasn't easy. Sometimes I had to say it, and I'm not exaggerating, Carl. Sometimes I had to say it 500 times a day. 500 times a day. I wish I were exaggerating it, but eventually it got from my mouth and embedded in my heart, and I started to believe it. It took about 9 months for me to believe it. So, you know, I hear people, you know, you hear church folks saying all the time, well, you know, it's God's will for me to have diabetes, but it's not true. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, I wish above all things. He doesn't say, I wish a little bit. God says, I
right.
wish above all things that you be in health and prosper,
yes.
even if your soul prospereth. It's God's will for us to be in health and prosper, even as our soul prosper. So you basically have to stand on God's word, believing, you know, that God wants me to be well. It's not God's will for me to be sick, and I can be well. I can be healed. I can be whole.
Yes. It's amazing, though, and just like I was saying, the complete circle of wellness is more like a baseball diamond. We've got four bases, and on one we've got the physical, on another we've got the mental, on the other we've got the spiritual, and on the last we've got the material area. And in the mental area, you had to believe that you're going to get well. And believe it in your heart so much where you confessed it even to bring yourself into belief and to bring your heart into the belief.
Correct.
And
it
then,
starts with mind. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying it starts in the mind. If you don't believe it in your heart, it will not manifest. It's just
mm-hmm.
that simple. Jesus says if you have faith of a mustard seed, you don't need a huge amount of faith. You know, I learned that the mustard seed is the smallest seed in the world. And I'm not absolutely certain about that, but even if it's not the smallest seed in the world, we know seeds are small. So you don't need this huge faith. You just need a small amount of faith, you know, but you need unbelief. You know, unbelief is important, you know. So if you have a small amount of faith and no unbelief, no wavering, just believing that it will come to pass, it absolutely will come to pass. It absolutely starts in the mind. You have to conquer your own thoughts first, your own negative thoughts, wherever they come from. Some people believe they're your own. Some people believe they come from Satan. It really makes no difference where they come from, but they have to be conquered, you know? They have to be
I think
confused.
One of the keys, too, is not to focus on those who are against
Absolutely.
You, but focus on the one who's with you.
Absolutely.
Because, and then the Bible even tells us, Paul says this, that God has given each one a measure of faith. And so
That's right.
God has already given us a measure of faith, just enough faith to meet the condition at hand.
Absolutely.
It's amazing, though, that we can fall victim to the naysayers, the negative folk, and the dream busters. And even though now, and let's face reality too. Now, the bottom line, even in Ecclesiastes, says there's a time to pluck up, there's a time to lay down, there's a time for this, time to live and time to die. But the bottom line is that we don't know exactly when that time is. But when I was laying on that sofa, and the Lord said in my spirit, "Not yet, son." I knew. But even before that, people had came against me saying that, you know, well, hey, I might have to take out an insurance policy on you. Look like you ain't going. But and I said, if you collect on it, then Skippy's not peanut butter. Because I believe, right, that's where I felt. I knew I was going to get well. Now, I was sick as can be. Man, I had to go through like 5 rounds of antibiotics, you know, take shots, do the whole stuff. Couldn't even stomach nothing, couldn't hardly breathe. But I knew in my heart of hearts, because I had yet more to do. And I'm not going to quit because of a negative report.
Right.
Now tell me this.
So
now you said you had 7 steps that you wanted to relate, because we're winding down. We're like down to the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, I realize that. The first and most important thing about obtaining your miracle or your healing, it doesn't matter if it's instantaneous or it's progressive, it's still a healing and it's still a miracle, especially when you've been given a bad report. The first and most important thing is to see God as he is. The Bible says that God is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. He is our Deliverer. And he is able to redeem us and deliver us from anything that we're going through. Remember, the Bible says God is no respecter of persons. If he delivered me, if he delivered Carl, he will deliver you and anybody else. And he is able, and he wants to. He wants to. But he's given us some responsibility, too. So that's the first thing. God is our Savior, our Redeemer, our Deliverer. You have to see him as he is, omnipotent, almighty God.
Yes.
The second thing is you have to know what the promises of God are. There are benefits that God affords us, you know, as his children and heirs with Christ. Healing is one of those benefits. The Bible says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. That simply means that the curse is laid out in Deuteronomy 28. That simply, and that curse includes every sickness known to man. That simply means that we don't have to be sick, because Jesus Christ redeemed us from those sicknesses, took the curse to the cross. And the Bible says he carried our sicknesses to the cross, and they died there with them. So we do not have to be sick. Christ already died for sickness for us, as well as sin. And so that's the second thing. That's so important. By his stripes, we are healed. Confess it. By his stripes, we are healed. The third thing we have to do is we have to believe. We have to believe. We have to pray to God. We have to pray to God for healing. The Bible, God says, you have not because you ask not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sat there saying, God, I need you. God, I'm dying. This was my prayer, Carl. God, I'm dying, but I know your other people are closer to death, so maybe you'll help them, and I know you're going to deliver me eventually. This is before I knew the word. So I didn't say, God, I need you to heal me. You know, the Bible says we have to pray to God in spirit and truth. I wanted to be healed, and I should have just come to him with the truth. You know, the Bible, we have to pray, and we have to believe God. Here's a scripture that is so important. It's 1 John 5:14-15. It says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, it has to be according to his will, and healing is according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So we know God hears us when we pray. A lot of people say, oh, God doesn't hear my prayer. Trust me, God hears your prayer if you're praying according to his will. And if you believe, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. And it will come to pass. This is what the Bible says. So you have to pray to God.
Yeah.
This is the third step. And you must believe. Now, this is an important step, number 4. This is really, I think personally, it was the turning point for me, this step. And a lot of Christians have trouble with this. Christians, believers and non-believers, but believers have so much trouble with this. The Bible says that we are in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual battle. And sometimes, as was in my case, as was in your case, it is for our lives. So we have to understand that we're in a spiritual battle, and we have to know that we have weapons. We have weapons in the battle. Now, the reason I know a lot of people are uncomfortable talking about this, but I'm not uncomfortable talking about it, and I think it is so important for you to know. I'm not sure how you can win the battle without knowing that you're in the battle. So we need to know that we're in the battle. We need to know what our weapons are. The Bible says, take up your sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the only way you can win a battle, the spiritual battle, oh, this is important. I neglected to say this. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the devil's wiles.
The strategy of the devil. That's what the wiles
are.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And this was the huge turning point for me. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of the darkness, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So put on the whole armor of God. When I read that, blew my mind. Had no idea that we could be, I personally was in a spiritual battle, or that anybody could be in a spiritual battle. Prior to reading that, against my flesh and blood 24 hours a day, every day for years. And then when I read that, my whole strategy changed, and then I started to come into healing. So once I acknowledged I was in a spiritual battle and I learned what my weapons were, it made all the difference. So forget not, we're in a spiritual battle. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Step number 5 is Jesus gives us authority and power. And we are to take our authority and power and use it in the spiritual battle. You know, God has laid down certain spiritual laws. You know, we know of laws of gravity, Newton's law. We know there are all kinds of laws. But God's word is a law, too. The Bible says God's word will not return void. So, and our weapon against the devil is God's word. So we take our weapons against the devil and use them, just as Jesus did when he was led up to the mount. Carl, the Mount, the sermon, when Jesus was led up for 40 days when he was fasting and Satan came upon him and tried to tell him, cast yourself down, if you truly are this, if you truly are that. What did Jesus do? He responded with the word of God. It is written. It is It is written. And that
the
is
man should not live
reading.
By bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And so we have that authority. Let's get to number 6.
Okay. Number 6 is how to exercise the weapons and authority. The Bible says, "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So Christians oftentimes sit around waiting for God. Well, I'm waiting for God to heal me. If I had done that, I would have died, because I learned that God gave me authority to take control of my own life. So I knew I had to confess it unto salvation. So every day I confessed it, and some days, in my particular case, it was necessary. I had to confess it for 5, 6, 7, 8 hours a day. You know, I confessed it, I confessed it, I confessed it. I was determined to live and not die and walk before the Lord. So it is necessary that we, with our heart, believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confess it unto salvation. And step number 7 is have faith in God.
Yes.
These are Jesus' famous words. Have faith in God, and it will come to pass. And I added to that, praise God for the victory. When you praise God for the victory, you take your thoughts, your mind off of yourself. You take your mind off of yourself, and you keep your focus on Christ Jesus. And how important is that? Look at what Peter did on the water when he wanted to walk on the water. He looked here and there, says, you have little faith, you know, because he took his eye off of Jesus. Praise God for the victory. Keep your eyes on Jesus and have faith that it will come to pass. People pray to God for healing. When they don't get it right away, they think, oh, God didn't hear my prayer. But we don't know why it takes so long. There's a scripture in the Bible, I think it's Jeremiah, where he's praying to God, and the angel Gabriel shows up eventually, the angel Gabriel shows up the first time immediately in the middle of the prayer. But the second time, the angel Gabriel doesn't show up for weeks. And then when the angel Gabriel shows up, he tells Jeremiah that Satan got in his way, basically. And he had to wrangle up some other angels to help him. So we don't know why our healing is delayed from time to time. But we know that God...
And because we're getting down to the last minute. We're done. Yes, they're getting ready to cut us off. But we haven't even touched the surface because you had to do some physical stuff, too, as far as herbs, vitamins, minerals, taking peroxide. Yeah, so there's another part two to this show that's coming up. We're down to the last 1 minute. We are excited for what God is about to do in your life, and there's yet more for you to do in this world. That's why you're listening. That's why you can't let go of this. We're coming back with another show right here on blogtalkradio.com/help somebody. And make sure you do help somebody. Help yourself in all thy ways. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. God still loves you. God is taking care of you. God created you. God is sustaining you. And let me tell you something. God is going to heal your life. This is Carl with a K. You can find me on the internet at helpsomebody.net. Keep looking at us. Keep praying for us, and we're going to keep lifting you up because that's why we come here. We thank you, Donna, for showing up, and you're going to come back, right?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Well, God bless you. I know I had to cut you off in the middle of your stuff, but we're down to the last 10 seconds, and we're looking forward. Talk to you later. God bless you. Remember, helpsomebody.net. You can find me on Facebook, too, at Help Somebody. Bless you.
Bless you. Are we cut off?